You're listening to Unterwegs, the En Route podcast, where we talk about what it means to be en route with Jesus in our day-to-day life. Navigating life and faith in our complex and changing society is hard. Our goal is to keep you unterwegs with Jesus, moving forward as you follow God's calling on your life. Welcome to episode 27 of Unterwegs, the En Route podcast. I'm your host, Mike Piccinato, and today we are returning to an interview that I started last week with Carissa Van Scooten. And in this interview, we're going through our five questions. Last week, we left off on question number three: what are some decisions that you've made that you wish you hadn't made or that you regret? And we're going back to one of the things Carissa said early in that question as we jump back into the episode today. I do want to apologize in advance. We had some technical difficulties with the microphone from Carissa, and it was kind of fading in and out at times. And I've done my best to try to fix the processing on that, but I did not want to over-process it. Hopefully you can get past the technical problems and still really enjoy the content. Carissa has some really great things to say in this episode. You do wish you had played the piano more.
I do. I wish I had practiced chording more. I did a lot of notes and sheet music learning, but I wish I had done more chording.
Yeah, it was similar for me. I think the classic piano education growing up is you learn how to read notes and you learn how to play Für Elise and you learn how to, you know, I mean, there's these classic pieces that everybody plays at their piano recitals.
Which I'm grateful for because it teaches, there's a lot of brain training when you're forced to play two hands, different notes, tracking, reading, translating. There's a lot that your brain is being trained to do.
Absolutely.
But it's not quite the flexibility of chording.
Yeah. I remember taking piano lessons for a while from this elderly lady in England when my dad was stationed there. And there was an exam structure. So you had to practice your scales and be able to play your arpeggios. And there was a vocal part of the exams as well, where they would play a note and tell you what key it was in, and you would have to sing a third and a fifth. And so, yes, all of this was helpful, but it didn't teach me how to play piano well with others, which the chording would have done. If you're in a band and the band is playing in G, what chords are you going to play?
Yeah. I did a music minor in college. We ended up studying or going through music theory, and it was interesting as I understood the theory better. The chording got better.
Yeah.
As I've forgotten the theory since, it's gone back down again. But understanding the key and understanding the framework allows you to be flexible within it.
At the expense of showing my pastoral training, I think even in the idea of understanding theory and chording and playing well with others, there's links to what does that mean from decision making as well. I think the more we understand life and the theory and the impact that this decision can do to set this song into a minor key instead of a major key impacts the direction of it, but none of it's long-term unchangeable. You can transition from minors to majors, but
and the minors can make a song really, really beautiful and add a layer of complexity.
Absolutely.
And dynamicism, is that a word?
It is now.
to what was just a very flat, simple song.
And culture plays an impact on musical keys and tones and notes as well. And the more culturally integrated we are, sometimes the more complex our decision and our songs.
I love that metaphor because that picture. Because once you've played in minor, once you've heard that blend of major and minor, in the moment there is that tension. It's not resolved yet. It does sound a little off. There's a little bit of this, wait, where are we going? What's it leading to? But then once you work through one resolution, once you see that, okay, we don't have to stay here, it can lead back to resolution.
Yeah.
It lends a beauty to it and a depth of appreciation for that beauty. No true appreciator of music having had that minor and leading back to resolution would go back and say, I wish we need to take that minor section out.
Mm-hmm.
Like it just, it's discordant. No one would take that out because it adds so much to the song. And I think the same applies to life.
Absolutely.
Now there are still open sections. I don't want to say that everything's resolved. I think we all have areas that we're still trying to bring to resolution or trying to seek resolution in.
Boy, that's one of the things I love and hate about German film is that it doesn't reach the end in a lot of German movies. I would say probably most where you don't reach the end with the happy Hollywood ending. It leaves so much unresolved. Yeah. And wait, I wanted my 2 hours of escapism film viewer. I dislike that.
Yeah, because we're so used to, and I think a lot of people don't realize that until they try and watch movies from other places.
Yeah.
And other cultures where they don't put a bow on everything at the end of it. Whereas in a lot of American films, we have a pretty nice little bow that goes at the end of our stories.
And even at the end of a half an hour sitcom, right?
Yeah.
but from a German perspective, when it ends and there's tension and you don't know what's going to happen next, that's probably more honest to life. Mm. And so, yeah, I think you're right. We do have a lot of times where we're in this unresolved, the chords haven't finished playing out. The piece isn't.
It's not done. It hasn't concluded yet.
And chances are good, life being what it is, that if we're in a minor mm-hmm. key now, that there will be major keys coming. And if we're in a major key now, there very possibly will be minor keys that are coming.
Yeah, a good bet that there are minor keys in our future.
Yeah.
But they add to the beauty. And I think that's one of, if we can do the work, and this is where self-awareness comes into play. This is where paying attention and doing our work and leaning into the minor keys is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Those minor key seasons of life. Because if we can lean in, they aren't something to fear. They aren't something to run away from. And I think it's so beautiful the way this ties in with faith, because from a Christian perspective, we don't have to fear suffering.
Mm.
Right? Suffering leads us to understanding Jesus better, to know him in his sufferings. Suffering grows in us perseverance. And perseverance, character, hope. It leads to and it builds things in us. And if we're able to take that, and it takes work mm-hmm. to see that in the middle of a minor key segment of life.
Or dissonance
in that dissonance space. But if we can lean into the dissonance, if we can lean into the discomfort, if we can lean into those spaces, then you almost get this sense of, okay, so what is this growing in me?
Mm-hmm.
Where am I growing? What is it bumping up against me? What is it revealing where I can lean in, where I can grow in? And that makes it a game of sorts.
Yeah, and it forces us to have perspective. Yeah. And I think perspective is often what we lose the quickest in those moments of dissonance. Because whether it's just brain chemistry, everything around us shrinks to focus on that
single
moment.
The logic part of our
brain
shuts down.
We're in response, right? Yep. We're in react. Yep. And it's hard. And that's where counseling can be such a big help, is because it can bring in a broader perspective or just
sometimes
community.
Sometimes it's as simple as creating space and holding space so people can breathe for a second and step back to get that perspective.
Yeah, that's good. So we've alluded to it and we've talked about it and a little bit around it, but what role does faith play in your life?
That's such a big question. Faith has been my anchor since that move to Hong Kong, where everything dislodged and kind of, I was forced at that point, it shook everything that I knew about myself and about the world and about life and about identity, and kind of, in a sense, set me adrift between all these, between three continents.
Mm-hmm.
Because it loosened what had been kind of grounding me. And so in that season, as I was adrift between these different continents and trying to sort through who am I, who am I going to be, what is my role, where do I go, where do I belong, it really was my faith and that relationship with a God who saw me. Who saw me and who saw all the parts of my life, who saw the parts of my heart that had been shattered and yet held them together, that provided an anchor in the midst of that season. And I think the other thing that that move and that transition, it helped me understand that nothing in this world is permanent.
Hmm.
Nothing is constant. Nothing... I mean, if you want to take a darker look at it, nothing really is dependable because everything can change. Your understanding of people's intentions and motivations can change. Governmental structures can change. Your home can change. How you see yourself can change.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of set me on this path of, okay, but I need something that doesn't change. I need something that I can count on, that if everything else changes... again, because it already did once.
Mm-hmm.
Everything changed for me. Kind of this, if everything is going to change, should everything change again, what can I hold on to that will not change? Because my identity is a Taiwanese, and Taiwan being my home, I thought that would never change. I thought I could count on that.
Mm-hmm.
And it changed. And so what is it, I really wrestling with, what is it that I can depend on that will never change, come hell or high water, come the destruction of the world order as we know it, whatever comes, what will not change? And for me, that's my relationship with God. And that's, my faith in a God who sees and who is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yeah, that's really good. I think that we're living in a time right now, and I mean, there've always been times, but but we're living in a time right now where people, I think, are so desperately searching for an anchor because so much has been uncertain and so much changes here in Berlin. The COVID rules changing again, and we went through a time where every 2 weeks there were new rules. And so you didn't even know what rules you could count on.
Right.
And so what people were searching for was, what is the scientific solution? What is
if we can understand the science, then we can control it, then we can be in charge, and then it won't change.
What is the herd immunity? Whatever. What is something that can serve as an anchor so that we can return to normal,
right?
Without the fundamental understanding that norms change.
Everything changes.
Yeah.
Except death and taxes, isn't that how the saying goes?
Yeah, and according to you, God as well.
Yeah. Death, taxes, and God, and of all of those, God is the most beautiful and appealing one by far.
Mm-hmm. Which is, for some people, it can seem like such an unreachable thing.
You mean God?
God.
Your relationship with God?
Yeah, because especially I think in the culture we're living in now, where we people search for something that's verifiable.
Mm.
And and for many people, God doesn't fit that box.
Yeah. Verifiable and trustworthy. And I think in our day and age, what I've seen too is a lot of distrust of authority because authority has proven themselves to be untrustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
When you've seen authority fail you so many times, it's hard to trust that there's something that can just be good without agendas, without secret ways that they're planning to use you to achieve their own ends.
And yet if you view God as a being with whom you can have a relationship, there are in any relationship, there's risk. Mm-hmm. And so you have to, in some sense, enter into that relationship to see if it's trustworthy.
And you've tapped into why I love marriage and family therapy.
There you go.
Yeah, when we experience in relationship, if we learn how to step into that, even on a human level, it can make it easier to trust that we can do that. And how we understand relationship even, right? You talk about a relationship with God. When we're considering a relationship with God, if we've only had poor experiences with relationships before, with people who have tapped out, who haven't stuck around, who haven't wrestled through the conflict, who are like, oop, nope, actually, I don't want this. I'm out. It's really hard to trust that relationship, a deep, meaningful relationship, is even possible. Mm-hmm. There's so much relational brokenness these days. Not just even between pairs or families, but between friends, between individuals. Just look at the last few years.
Yeah.
Social media has not helped any of that. But yeah, as we learn how to do relationship better, I mean, that's such a big piece of all of this. How do we stick with a relationship? How do we lean into it? What does risking trust in relationship mean? And how do we get to a place where we can risk trust in a relationship again after having been hurt?
Right.
And how do we understand a God who, I mean, this is the piece that about God and about Jesus that constantly blows me over, is he is complete in himself. He is fine in himself. And he is not dependent on us responding to him to the degree that he can stand and make himself available for relationship. And he does make himself available for relationship, regardless of how often we reject him.
Mm.
Right. Which
brings back that dependability to the point that you can say, this is my anchor.
Yeah.
When everything else is changing.
Yeah, exactly. And that builds trust. Mm-hmm. And the more you test that, and the more you come back, and the more you see, oh, he's still here. Oh, he's still there. Oh, I can depend on him. Mm-hmm. He does bring me through.
Thanks for sharing that. It's been fun for me to hear different people's answers to a lot of the different questions, but the ones revolving around faith and the impact it has for people, it's also been good for me to hear how different people answer the question, what role does faith play in my life? And as you've experienced, none of the questions are particularly easy to answer.
No. Well, it also doesn't help that one of my favorite phrases is, it depends.
Like a good hub.
Yeah. Good hub, good therapist.
Yeah.
It depends. It's so much of it depends on context, and it depends on also why we're asking the question, what we're trying to get at, and where we are in the moment and what we highlight.
And that's important too, because the more I do these five questions interviews with people, the more I realize that really what I'm getting is a verbal snapshot of this is where people are in this moment.
Yeah.
And if I were to do the interview with them again in 5 years, there might be very different answers to the very same questions.
They might have different decisions they regret.
That's true. I regret doing that podcast with Mike, for example.
Oh man, if I'd only known.
I'd only known. what are some upcoming projects or current projects? Anything that you're working on?
Well, I'm here in Berlin working among the Arab-speaking diaspora, Arab-speaking population in Berlin. And so the current projects that we have going on are developing a children's program at a local Arabic church and really coming alongside individuals, whether they're believers or not believers, kind of coming alongside people who have lost their world, lost the framework, and have found themselves in an alternate universe somewhat. And they've been here for several years already. But as they're sorting through what does life look like on this side, and as they're raising families in this context, and as they're navigating now we've moved and our children are suddenly not just Arab anymore, mm-hmm. and are growing up with a very different childhood and different experience than we've had. How do we come alongside them, and how do we show them a God who sees them mm-hmm. in a way that no one else will ever see them, who understands their experience in a way that no one else will ever understand, and who will walk alongside them in a way that no one else can? How do we show them a God who's, I mean, it goes back to the role that faith plays in my life, because mm-hmm. ultimately for me, I found that to be the only satisfactory answer. Everything else changes.
Yeah.
So how do we offer people who've lost everything the hope of someone who doesn't change, who can be a refuge, who can be an anchor?
Seems to me, from my perhaps limited perspective, that there are a lot of ways in this that you are offering comfort to people through comfort that you've already been given. That, as you even explained the story of your life and the loss of your anchor and the needing of Jesus as an anchor, that now, maybe in ways you absolutely could not have expected at the age of 14, mm-hmm. but you're now able to begin to offer that hope to other people as well.
Which is an answer to prayer, Mike, really. My relationship with God has been a fun one over the years. I think back to, like, being in this season now where I am, I keep coming back to this conversation I had several times with God. It's not a one-time thing. But in the midst of my moving every year, highly transient life, it's really hard as a teen.
Mm.
I had several conversations with God where, as a teen, you don't have control over these decisions. Life happens to yeah. you. So I had several conversations of, God, you made this happen. This is your responsibility.
Mm.
I wash my hands of it. This is clearly in your court. So just as my life taking this pathway, these things happening to me or happening in my life, it, just as that is your responsibility, the cleanup's your responsibility as well. Kind of holding him to his word and trusting mm-hmm. if he's a God who keeps his promises, and he has promised to redeem, he has promised, like, his character throughout scripture speaks of a God of redemption who steps into brokenness, who has plans for good, who is all powerful in all things, then he can surely bring something good out of this. And I remember a conversation with him of, we're at a season where I couldn't see a way forward, where life was just too hard and it was not worth it, and there was no end in sight. And I had a very blunt conversation with God of, this is your fault.
Mm.
Therefore, it's your responsibility to fix this. And I will keep going, and I will keep moving forward, and I will keep living this stupid life that you've given me.
In those moments of dissonance.
And I will be faithful to live this stupid life that you've given me in those moments of dissonance. It's actually a beautiful life. But you have got to bring something good out of that, out of these experiences, out of this pain. You have to redeem this pain. And it's really neat to be on this side of things and to see my story is so different from anyone coming out of the Arab world. Mm-hmm. My cultural background is different. Mm-hmm. My context is different. My experience of the world is different. There are some worldview, world perspective things that are similar because I did grow up in the East, but it's different.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there's that overlap, and there's a space where I can speak into this. God is still steadfast.
Yeah.
And he is still an anchor. And it's really neat to see that come full circle.
Even if we go back to music, which we've spoken about a little bit, there are only so many notes in a scale.
Yeah.
And only so many octaves.
Yeah.
And the same notes and different octaves vibrate at the same frequency. And there are common frequencies in life, regardless of culture.
Yeah.
And sometimes those frequencies resound and even from different cultures, we can say, I feel the same, mm-hmm. even if we can't ever say, I feel the same, but we can share our own feelings in that and find those moments of harmony in the middle of that.
And for all of the cultural differences and all the things that we experience so differently, that frequency of suffering is the same.
Mm.
The frequency of full-hearted joy is the same.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can tap into that in our lives, that means being okay and comfortable, sitting in the tension of resonating with that frequency of suffering.
Yeah.
But if we can do that, yeah, it's the same across cultures.
Yeah.
We all experience joy. We all experience suffering. We all experience pain.
How that's expressed is sometimes different.
Absolutely. It looks very, very different.
Yeah.
If we can learn to recognize that in others,
yeah,
it has amazing power to cross cultures.
I'm really excited to see how that continues to work its way out.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
Krista, thanks for your time. It's been great to have you.
It's been great to be here.
Well, that brings episode 27 to a close. And as always, if you would like to send us an email, you can do that by sending it to podcast@envisionberlin.com. And there's also a link in the show notes on how you can join our Discord server if you want to be involved in other conversation topics as well. Hey, maybe as we enter into the end of the year, you know some people who are really unsure of what they are wanting to do in the coming year, or who are getting ready to finish college and are unsure about what next steps for them might be. It might be that an internship with Envision Berlin is something that would be really good for them. There's opportunities for them to exercise a variety of creative skills or be involved in a variety of different ministries, including the ministry to Arabic-speaking people with Carissa. If that's something that they're interested in, you can also contact us through email or through going to our website, www.envisionberlin.com, and reading more and following the links there. Unterwegs, the En Route podcast, is a production of I Am Intercultural, a division of Exigent Communication, in partnership with Envision Berlin. Please like, share, and subscribe. Podcast music is by Mike Picanato.